Hello, fantasy folks. Week 5 is in the books, and another high-scoring one for most. If you are 0-3 and lying on the cold, wintry earth, hopefully over the last 2 weeks you've seen the first few shoots of fantasy success spring from the ground. And if you're not, well, it might be time to start digging. We'll discuss last week, the highs and lows, the vintage performances, and the bottom shelf outings too. Then we'll look ahead to Week 6 with our forget-about-its, projection beaters, and game tier lists. I'm Alex Sharples, I'm here with the ever-luminous Alex and Lewis Brindle, and this is In The Pocket, Across The Pond.
Well, lots of competitive, high-scoring, one-score games this week. Perfect recipe for fantasy football. Finally, only took over a month of the season. Before we get into some specific games, lads, there was multiple plays this week that made me audibly go, there's no way. So, I just want to throw it around. What was your favourite play from this week, Al?
There was a huge Jaden Daniels kind of bomb touchdown, I think, early on. Or was it just kind of like it was a huge bomb touchdown, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And I mean, the thing about Daniels is, I mean, first things first, they should swap his name with the name of the Auburn college head coach. Lou, you might want to give that a quick Google. But I'm watching that, and I just traded Jaden Daniels in my main league. I'm a Josh Allen owner. What's he called, Lou?
Hugh Freeze.
Not made up. Auburn Tigers head coach Hugh Freeze. I'm going to start calling Jaden Daniels Hugh Freeze. I'm watching it, and I'm thinking, have I made the wrong decision by trading Jaden Daniels and keeping hold of Josh Allen? That's how good this guy looks. I texted our brother after that huge touchdown and said, I think I've just traded you the best player in the league.
And then I messaged back a little bit later and went, no, sorry, this guy's the best player in the league. It was after that Lamar Jackson play where he scrambles, he bobbles the ball, scrambles out, stiff arms a defensive end twice, and just as he's rolling out and about to get absolutely popped, just launches a bit of a dart to Likely in the end zone. That was mental. When you watch that play and you're like, no, chill out. This guy is still probably the best player in the league. Mm-hmm. If that was Mahomes, that play would be carved in stone already, like outside of the Chiefs facility. That was, daft. And made even better by Kevin Harlan's commentary, but that was, insane. Sharples, what plays caught your eye? There's so many this week.
Yeah, I mean, obviously that Lamar Jackson one was probably the top. I liked Keon Coleman's 50-yard touchdown.
Down the sideline.
Yeah, took it all the way to the house. And also
Tinkerbell
tolls. Jamar Chase, I know they do it a lot, but it's amazing how easy they get. I mean, 40-odd yard touchdown, and Jamar Chase just runs away from everyone into the corner of the end zone.
But he's like, what I didn't get about that is he throws it to him, and there's so many Ravens around him, and he just sort of runs in between them like Quicksilver or something.
I think there's some sort of like depth perception issue that goes on when you're watching it, because sometimes
has to be.
Guys just like run around players, and you're thinking, how are you not catching him?
I also want to shout out Jaden Reed for one of the ridiculous catches.
He'll be listening.
One of the most ridiculous catches. I saw a funny comment on the post about it on the NFL Instagram. They posted the clip because it was like a 50, 60-yard bomb by Jordan Love over to Jaden Reed just shy of a touchdown. And they're like, what a throw and what a catch. And the comment underneath it was, no, it was an awful catch. He threw it into triple coverage. It was just an
awful throw,
completely unbelievable catch. Mm. Yeah, the throw was not a great decision. Mm. But yeah, let's get into the week anyway. The game we alluded to, Ravens 41-38, Bengals overtime win, 9 passing touchdowns between the two quarterbacks. Bengals could have won. Bengals could have won. There was a bit of a muffed field goal there as well. I mean, you know, we like to meme on the Bengals. Feel bad for them. This was a good game by both teams. Not defensively, but we don't care about that. What do you reckon this one, Shabs? Has this made you a bit more confident in the Bengals, or just sort of like, nah, the Ravens are going to beat anyone and everyone?
No, I think it probably gives me a little bit more confidence in the Bengals. But then again, I mean, they were up by a good 14 points, I think, in the fourth quarter and still let that slip. I mean, they were in a close one with the Chiefs and lost that too. So are they just forever going to be this near-miss team that doesn't quite get over it? And the Ravens as well, obviously, they got the win in the end, but was not looking pretty at times. I mean, really, that field goal should have been in and it should have been done. So I feel like both teams will come away almost with more questions than answers. But I mean, I suppose as long as you win it, it's another win in the column and they'll move on. But yeah, I think I was expecting a bit more of a resounding performance than the Ravens defensively. And
yeah,
my God, they were
a lot to be desired this week on the defensive side of the ball. But I think, Al, this should, like, the Ravens, we've just seen them win 2 games in a row against the Cowboys and the Bills, just running all over them. I think this game showed that it's like, no, we can do the other thing as well.
Yeah, I mean, I'm finding it hard. I mean, as amazing as the Ravens looked, I'm finding it hard to get truly excited, because I think we spoke about this last week, if not the week before. Teams like the Bills and the Ravens do this every single year. They'll have a period of 3 or 4 games where they look completely dominant and like they can beat anybody, and that's what the Ravens are doing at the moment. So yeah, I'm not getting overly excited about like the Ravens and the Super Bowl hopes, but like you said, Lou, nice to see that they can get it done both ways, because we know Lamar can do it both ways. I think all we're missing now is kind of like a huge rushing game from Lamar to kind of like, you know, give us all types of fantastic fantasy game.
Yeah, agreed. But I mean, he looked great. You know, like you said, this does happen every year, sometime or another, that the Ravens just look completely dominant. So we'll see as the season goes forward. Bucks 30-36, Falcons. Was this the best Thursday night game since we have been doing this podcast?
Probably, and you know why? It's because I didn't have any players in it, so some actual fantasy points got scored, apparently. I mean, great game. Whether you watched it or not, it's great to wake up to fantasy points and to be able to kind of watch the highlights of a really fun divisional game. Cousins completely went off as well, so, you know.
And now 500, over 500 passing yards from old. Do you like that, Alex Sharples?
I did like it. I wasn't expecting it. I thought once the Bucks got up, I thought that'd be it. But obviously the Falcons claw their way back to overtime, and then an unbelievable play from Hodges?
Yeah.
I think that was the fella's name. Yeah. Took it all the way to the house and they win. Yeah, we'll see. Is that going to kickstart it? I mean, the wide receivers all got fed. Good games for London and Mooney. Still, though, Bijan Robinson, like, when's that one going to click? Because it seems like it
has
been...
the jacuzzi got a couple of degrees warmer since last week?
Yes. I'd say so.
I think, because it's getting to the point now. It's like, you know, we're coming up to week 6. We've still not seen it. I still hold on hope that he's going to have that big week and it's going to propel him. But as the week ticks on, you do start thinking, is this just what he looks like in this offense? I don't know.
Yeah. It's a good game all round.
Can we talk about Darnell Mooney as well, really quickly?
We can talk about Darnell Mooney.
Wide receiver 15, and I mean, I know the 31 points this week, he's going to bump that up, especially this early in the season. But I mean, double-digit fantasy points in 3 of 5 games so far. Very nice game this week. Hyper targeted by Cousins. Well, I'm looking 16 targets. Yeah. If you're looking for a second or even first pass catcher on this team, I know London had a good game. I think Mooney's worth in flex consideration from now on, would you say?
Yeah, 100%. And we saw not only in the scheme that they're running in Atlanta now that was at the Rams, multiple wide receivers relevant. Kirk Cousins has had multiple wide receivers relevant when he was in Minnesota as well. So 100%, if Darnell Mooney is, I was going to say the two then, is he the two? Because he's probably on... No, maybe not on more fantasy points than London, but almost there.
10 points behind on the season, so, you know, one good game.
Exactly. I mean, that, what was it, 16 targets, did you say?
Yeah.
Which any normal week would be like the clear lead on the week. Just so happens that this week that pales in comparison, but we'll get into that. In a little bit. Good game this. Bucks, I mean, what can you do? You score 30 points, you expect to win a game. But the Falcons, I will just say, every game the Falcons won has felt painful. It's felt like they've had to claw for every win. So I don't know whether that says that they're just destined to win or that says that, no, when it comes up to it, they probably might fall short. But another... score fest. Colts 34, 37 Jags. Jags hold on, finally score some points, finally win. I mean, we knew that the Colts could put up points because Andy Richardson wasn't playing. but what are we thinking about the Jags? 37 points isn't nothing, but Is this the turnaround for the Jags, Sharples?
Hard to say that. I think from a fantasy football perspective, you know, we're seeing Brian Thomas Jr. now looks like the bright spot. I think he's pretty much cemented as the wide receiver one on that team. Christian Kirk was startable, and it had been for the last few weeks, you know, 13-ish points. But Brian Thomas Jr. looks to be the stud in that offense now. Maybe a coming out party for Tank Bigsby as well. Particularly with Etienne being questionable. Yeah. I mean, he had a huge week. Lawrence, a good game, fine. I just think this Colts team gave them too many chances, really. So I think it's far too early to say, yes, it's the start of a comeback or whatever. But some positive spots, certainly from fantasy perspective, and see if they can build on it, I guess.
Win on the board. They win on the board there. Texans bested the Bills. Mm-hmm. Al, you talk to me about this, because the Bills have struggled on offense for a couple of weeks now. The Texans won this game, but don't get me wrong, the Texans did not need to be high flying or anything to win this game. I think it was, 23-20?
Yeah, I mean, it was a pretty painful watch if you kind of had any pieces in the Bills' offense. James Cook kind of got it done stats-wise, but, I mean, Allen couldn't get anything going. 9 completions on the day. Appalling. Obviously, there was the big touchdown to Keon Coleman, a lot of yak on that one, but they just couldn't get anything going. They looked like, you know, like before the season, when it was like, oh, no, the Bills are telling us that it's good, they're going to spread the ball around, the chemistry's great, and kind of you're thinking, yeah, but it kind of looks like they've got no one on the team. And then they're like, no, it's fine, we're spreading the ball around. See, the first 2-3 weeks were unbelievable, we're spreading the ball around. Now, the past 2 weeks, it's very much looking like there's nobody on this offense to throw the ball to. Unfortunately. It was pretty painful.
Shakir was missing, but, you know, I don't know if Shakir is like that, you know, skeleton key that unlocks the offense.
No, he's not. If it's me, I think they should be heavily in the Devontae Adams sweepstakes, like heavily. And yeah, it it left me wondering if I traded away the right quarterback last week. Fantasy, from a fantasy perspective, I mean, I thought it was a no-brainer. I want Josh Allen for the rest of the season, and judging by this game, and judging by this game and his projection, what it's gone down to this next week. If you look at kind of like the projection of quarterbacks this week, Allen's way down there. Pretty worrying.
Mm. Yeah. They need to get back establishing it. Like with Josh Allen and James Cook are the two best players. You need to involve Cook more in the passing game, really, and stuff like that, which sort of unlocks that offense a bit more. Because, yeah, Shakir, Coleman, Kincaid, unfortunately, like they're just not... They're not that focal point that this offense needs. This is a lovely thing to say. The Bears, the Commanders, the Broncos all dominated 36, 34, 34 points respectively. All rookie quarterbacks. Unreal. Mm. They played the Panthers, the Browns, and the Raiders, all backup quarterbacks. Yeah, rookies doing bits this week, all three of them.
Yeah.
Fair enough. And all three of those teams look pretty good offensively. Giants and the Cardinals pulled off big upsets. Who knew that was the key to the Giants winning? Just take away your best player. Take away your best player and you'll beat the Seahawks. And the Cardinals upset the 49ers as well, which was crazy. Vikings go 5-0 in London. The Jets are really bad. This felt like a London game for about three quarters, i.e. boring and rubbish. And then the last quarter was interesting, but for the most part, it was a London game. And yeah, the Chiefs went 5-0 as well against the Saints. Impressive victory. Sharples, I'll shoot it over to you. Get us started on our categories.
I have to say, I don't know about you guys, but this probably in all the episodes we've done was the hardest week I found to put an impressive victory down. Obviously, some big scores, but and the teams that got trounced were all pretty bad. I went for the Bears, who beat the Panthers 36-10. And the reason is, obviously, yeah, the Panthers aren't great, but they have scored 60 points over the last two games and the Bears held them to 10. So I thought that was a positive sign. And Caleb Williams had his best game by far. So... yeah, that's why I went for the Bears.
Great defense as well for the Bears. Al?
Yeah, I went for the Giants because I feel like it's just, as you alluded to, Lou, they can score points. They might not be as bad as we thought they were. Seahawks have been looking good so far this year, and they went into there. I'm right in saying they went into Seattle?
Yeah.
Yeah, they went into Seattle, looked good. Don't even have the best player as well. So I thought the Giants win was pretty impressive.
Yeah, yeah. I went for another upset as well because, like I was joking before, you could argue that, you know, the Ravens, the Jags victories, the Falcons, they weren't that impressive because there's two sides to, well, three, but two main sides to American football. And one of those sides didn't show up in them games. So I went for the Cardinals because they actually held the 49ers scoreless in the second half completely. 49ers didn't even score a field goal or anything like that, which I think is no small feat. Speaking of small feet, Kyler Murray, great run by him. Not buying it win. This was the hardest one for me just because it was too easy, actually. I didn't want to put the team that I put, but you had to. I was searching, but I ended up just biting the bullet and putting the team that I put. But Sharples, who did you put in the not buying it win category?
I went for the team that I picked as the worst team last week, the Dolphins. I mean, to be fair, I did say I don't see where the next win's coming from, and they won. But I think we've mentioned it, but it's such a glaring comparison between what the Packers did when Malik Willis had to come in and they completely changed the offense and how it works to suit him. And then compare that to what the Dolphins have tried to do with both Skylar Thompson and Tyler Huntley, where it's just trying to put the square peg in the round hole. I don't know how they won it. They obviously did, but it was mainly field goals and then a two-yard run. So, yeah, I mean... Fair play if they can scrape a couple more wins and then Tua comes back, maybe they can make a little push. But it looks bleak.
Mm, it does look bleak. Even with Mike McDaniel with his shaggy hair and Miami sunglasses on the sideline, that's the last ray of sunshine on that team, really.
I saw him. I can't remember, someone in the media referred to him as a disc jockey in a nightclub that's just there, head down, spinning records, doesn't care who's in there, doesn't care what the vibe is, he's just spinning his records.
Yeah. Not buying it with Al.
I'm going to go with the Jaguars. I mean, they've looked so terrible. They've looked so terrible all season long. The Colts are in there with a backup quarterback. And now I say air quotes because what's the Richardson injury, Lou? Remind me.
The Richardson injury is an oblique injury.
But you're telling me he did log
3 limiting practices last week, so he could be.
And you're telling me if Richardson was lighting it up for the first month of the season, they wouldn't be putting him back in this week. This is why I texted you.
He's not like he's a practicing Sunday.
It's why I texted you on Sunday and just pondered whether this was a soft benching rather than kind of like the guy can't go. So that's why I'm putting backup quarterback in air quotes with Joe Flacco. I just seriously think if Richardson had been playing lights out, they'd have been putting him in there. They'd have been putting him in there regardless of whether there was a little bit of an injury kind of lingering. But yeah. Back to the Jaguars, I think they've looked awful. I think this Colts team just wasn't at the races. Don't expect them to go on some sort of run now.
No. Fair. I mean, what muddies, just go back to that little Colts point, what muddies the waters there is that they lost. So
I know.
I went for the Dolphins as well, Sharples. Like, these are two of the worst teams in the league. There you go. Who's the worst team in the league, Sharples?
It's the Browns.
By quite
some margin, actually, despite how terrible the Dolphins are. The Browns are a lot worse.
Yeah. Al?
Yeah, I mean, the Patriots look pretty bad, I'll be honest, and it seems a long 5 weeks ago since I gave them my impressive victory for week one. I thought they were going to be a tough out this year. Not so much. But it is the Browns. The Browns are terrible. That terrible that they, as we'll come on to, ruined my hot streak at wide receiver. Awful.
Yeah, I also said that the worst team in the league is the Browns. You know, not only is the quarterback and offense behind that quarterback as bad as ever, the defense has given up as well. This was the defense that the past 2-3 years has been one of the best in football, and they're just, you know, why would you want to play for this quarterback is all I'll say. On to the best players of the week, though. Stop me if you want to chat about one of these guys, lads. Obviously, Jamar Chase, 41.3 fantasy points. That topped the week. Couple of touchdowns. Yeah, Chase, vintage Chase performance. Kirk Cousins, over 500 passing yards, as I said before. Vintage performance. Another vintage performance was... a lot of vintage performances this week. Burrow, 5 touchdown passes. Jackson, 4 touchdown passes. This was a duel. This was like, you know, Brady and Manning or Marino and Elway. You know what I mean? This is, I'm not even saying that to be funny either. This is genuinely the equivalent of that in today's game. This was we got to appreciate these games when they come because we'll be talking about them in, you know, years and years' time. Like, wow, do you remember those games? That was good to see. Drake London and Darnell Mooney, both unbelievable starts. You could have played both of them and had, yeah, two of the best 3 wide receivers on the week.
If you'd have started the whole Atlanta team, you'd have won your week.
Yeah, you might have lost your running back matchup, but T. Higgins finally comes to life. That was class to see as well. Mm-hmm. What that Bengals offense can do when both those wide receivers are firing. None of this Yoshi Vass, even though I think he did get a touchdown.
It was just short of a touchdown. It was a bomb sort of 40-yarder, but right, he got stopped just short.
Garrett Wilson with you know, 22 targets. I'm sure we can expect that every single week. 22 targets, which I did look this up. That is tied sixth most all time in a game.
Do you know why it was as well? It's because someone had obviously told Rodgers that I picked Lazard as my projection beater, so he's gone, right.
Yeah.
No chance.
And he's like, right, every single pass. Time. I mean, Rodgers threw it over 50 times in this game, which is ridiculous. But yeah, 22 targets for Wilson. And he had a good game. But then again, pinch of salt. I certainly hope he would have a good game with 22 targets. In fact, 22 targets, I think he had a really disappointing game.
Yeah, what did he come away with? Like, was it early 20s he got?
Let me pull that up. DJ Moore, really good game. He's looking really nice with Caleb Williams. Joe Flacco, even though they lost, he had a great game. Darius Slayton filled in very nicely for our neighbours. I mean, you can't see that sticking really because, you know, neighbours is the guy. And, you know, we're joking like about winning and stuff. Like, Malik Neighbours makes that team a million times better. Garrett Wilson, off 22 targets, had 29.1 points. So, listen, I want 40 points off 22 targets.
Mm-hmm.
Shame on you, Garrett Wilson. The new starting running back for the Jacksonville Jaguars, Tank Bigsby, 129 total yards, 2 touchdowns. That's starter material for me. Mm-hmm. Looked good. He looked really good.
I mean,
are we seeing, this is the next guy, Tucker Kraft, are we seeing the next...
Sorry, Luke, to stop you. Can we just talk about the Jacksonville running backs dead quick again? We're on red alert for Travis Etienne. I'm just saying. This is worrying. This is worrying for Travis Etienne's fantasy outlook, I would say. If you're an Etienne owner, it's probably too late to get out. Weirdly, he's still been kind of doing it a little bit for fantasy. He's not been killing you because he's been getting some kind of high-value touches. But Bigsby looks like, yeah, the better running back. I mean, talk about Etienne being traded before the deadline, because obviously he's owed some money after the year. They might be able to get something for him. But yeah, what do you do with Etienne?
I don't know. We see this multiple times a year. We saw this with Pollard and Ezekiel Elliott. We saw this with Achan and Mostert. A guy who the backup comes in and he's uber efficient. Does that equal, okay, well, he's just the better running back? Or is he efficient because of the opportunities that they're scheming up for him? You don't know. I mean,
why would they not be scheming up good opportunities for Etienne then?
Just scheming good opportunities
up for Bigsby. Yeah.
The team sort of has someone in for Etienne. They're only scheming him the bad players. Tucker Kraft. 2 touchdowns. We might have another good tight end on our hands here. Slow down, though, because we thought we had a lot of them this year and we don't. Kyler Murray, great performance. Brock Bowers, 12 targets, 8 receptions, 97 yards and a touchdown. This is your number one wide receiver, and this is why I tried to trade for Brock Bowers everywhere this past week.
You didn't try me.
People were getting scared. Go on.
You didn't try me.
Because I knew you wouldn't give him up. Like, I know you're savvier than that.
I'm just going to sit here and say I told you so as well. I'm just going to sit here and say I told you so before the season.
I don't. Yeah, Luke, you did. I think people got scared off because he had a couple of cooler bad games.
He was coming off back-to-back 5 points a week. If you'd have come to me before this week with a decent offer, Luke, you might have got him. You'll never know.
Listen, well, you're associated with this podcast, Shabba, so I thought you'd be smarter than that, but...
Well, with my past experience of inter-podcast trades, they've all gone quite well, because pretty sure it was only one. Al knows all too well what it was.
The famous...
We got, We don't train each other.
We don't, because I'm far too suspicious of you two.
Because there's always like a sucker in a trade, isn't there?
Yeah.
You try to make it mutually beneficial, a bit like a trade that I did this past weekend. You try to make it mutually beneficial, but really there's always a sucker in the trade. And I think we just know each other's going to see right through whatever we're doing.
Yeah.
So yeah,
it's hard to strategize against two guys that you know splurge all of your thoughts and feelings about fantasy football to every single week.
Yeah, yeah.
It's hard to school someone like that.
That's true.
Caleb Williams, great week. Baker Mayfield, Brian Thomas Jr., as you said before, Sharples, this guy is legit. Mike Evans, Bo Nix, Brandon Ayuk, finally, with a nice game. Yeah. I think you two called that on your very sort of lukewarm jacuzzi that you jumped into last week.
Yes.
Al, before we get into some busts, I just want to know, preempt the bust, is anybody heading to the booth? Yet.
Is anyone heading to the booth? Whoa, we got a return to heading to the booth. The fact that you've brought it up, I want to say that you think someone's heading to the booth.
I don't. I genuinely don't. I just was driving this week and I was thinking about the podcast and I was like, you know what? This was a weekly segment, but maybe it's a bit too special for that. But I was like, Al hasn't said anyone's heading to the booth. You know what? I'll let you ponder it while
I have got someone who is heading to the booth. Obviously heading to the booth. Aaron Rodgers is heading to the booth. Or is he heading to the White House? I don't know.
He's heading to
the second highest post in America. Who knows?
I think you're half right there on both of them. I think he's going in between the White House and the NFL commentary booth. He's heading to the Joe Rogan podcast.
Yeah.
I'm thinking he's going to head to Borneo and live with the bonobo monkeys for 2 years.
Good stuff.
Bonobo monkeys boo.
I think Rogers looks not good. I think if there's anyone who's close to being in the booth, it's Aaron Rodgers at the minute, yeah.
You know what? I was listening to Pro Football Talk and they said something that was... I hadn't even properly, like, you know... I'd thought of it, but I never actually said it, which is true. Mike Florio was like, he looks old. He looks old for 40. And he does.
I know. He looks well old for 40.
Yeah. Because Tom Brady just looks younger. Look at Tom Brady at 40.
There's too much like hello fellow kids when you look at Tom Brady, isn't there? It's like, come on, mate. Like hello fellow youths. Backwards cap kind of thing, yeah.
I think the problem with Rodgers is he didn't want to get hit anymore. And you can see like that very last play where he turned it over to Gilmore. He had a bit more time, but he's been getting hit all game, all season. And he just made a throw which he would not have made. Even what, three, four years ago. So that was the big sort of ouch point for me, that he just, he was far too quick on the draw.
Yeah. Other players who were bad this week though. Breece Hall. But I don't think you should worry about that, and I'll get into that in a little bit. Bijan Robinson, this isn't great. Deontay Johnson, just as maybe this whole Panthers thing was just, you know, when you see teams get galvanized when there's a big change. Maybe it was just that. Maybe they just sat still pretty bad.
Right, did I not literally say this? The week that it happened.
Probably. Samuel Darnold, not a great game. Statistically, they still got the win though, so I'm sure he does not care about that whatsoever. Dalton Kincaid, this is becoming a recurring theme now. Maybe Dalton Kincaid and that passing game as a whole needs something else in there. Not a great game for CeeDee Lamb or George Pickens in the Monday night game. Jordan Mason as well, maybe the wheels are coming off there. Maybe they'll be begging for CMC back at some point soon, because Deebo Samuel also didn't have a great game. In the same game, Marvin Harrison Jr. I'm worrying a little bit here, because the thing with Marvin Harrison Jr. is he hasn't, to me, looked near as dominant as Malik Nabers. at all. But, you know, and he hasn't sort of, he's not asserted himself in a game. But I'm pulling it up now because his targets, the targets that he's getting every single game, you dream of those. And he's just, there's something going on here that he isn't doing anything. So this happened in week one. Three targets, one reception. Week two, 8 targets, 4 receptions. Week three, 11 targets, 5 receptions. He was pretty efficient against Washington last week. Then this week, 7 targets and 2 receptions. Now, I think, personally, Kyler Murray is a decent enough quarterback to be finding him. I think this is on Harrison Jr. That he's just not getting, he's not getting open. He's not winning these duels.
Yeah, I mean, just based off the eye test, I agree that he hasn't kind of popped off the screen like a Malik Nabers does, like Brian Thomas Jr. has. Nabers and Thomas Jr. both on that LSU team last year with Jaden Daniels. You know, you can imagine how good they were. He's not popped off the screen like those players have. I still have faith that when Caleb Williams gets warmed up a bit more, Roma Dunze is going to kind of like jump off the screen as well. I've been disappointed with what I've seen from Harrison as well, though. Having only seen him a little bit playing for Ohio State, saw much more of a Dunze last year because obviously Washington went deep into the college football playoffs last year. Really disappointed with what I've seen.
Yeah. I agree. It sort of seems like he's just waiting for the perfect pass, the perfect ball. He's not taking these opportunities.
It's not close at the minute between him and Nabers.
No.
Nabers is already like top 5 in the league at the position.
Dontavian Wicks with a disappointing game. Chris Olave as well. Breaking news. Just got a bit of breaking news there on my phone. The Patriots are planning to start Drake May against the Texans on Sunday.
That's unfortunate for him. That's unfortunate for him. He's going to get killed out there.
First week in the NFL going up against Will Anderson and Danielle Hunter.
I sort of don't see the point in this unless you, maybe Jacoby Brissett's injured. Maybe he got banged up at the weekend and we don't fully know about it. But I don't see the point in this because you're protecting your rookie quarterback because you have a bad team. Now that you have established that you have a bad team, why shut him down? Let him sit for a year and learn. Like, I don't really get, I don't get this at all, to be honest. Unless, like as I said, there's an injury. I don't really understand this. Maybe they saw, you know, Williams, Daniels and Knicks having great games this week and thought maybe that can be us. I don't know.
I hope not, or else it's just toddlers running things.
But that breaking news segues us right into the news and injuries segment. Starting off, the Jets have parted ways with head coach Robert Saleh. Shapples, you just raised your fist in the air triumphantly.
Fist pump, yep.
Go on.
Yeah, I mean, and obviously saw what you guys were saying in the group chat, but I just think this guy's been in the job too long. I haven't seen any sort of consistency yet. Like, obviously Rodgers hurt last year. He had Zach Wilson before that, but was he not part of the staff that drafted Zach Wilson in the first place? Or if he wasn't, he surely got the job by telling the owner, we can work with him, he's going to be great, I'm going to do this and this. Zach Wilson was a bust. I haven't seen anything that suggests to me he's a really good coach. I think you can say what you want about the offense, but the defense has had some good pieces on it for a while now and has still been inconsistent. I just think they needed a change round. I don't know who's going to come in, but I feel like at this point they've just been stagnating now for 3 and a bit years. So very little to lose, in my opinion, by making the switch. And who knows, right person comes in and maybe it flicks a switch.
Yeah, Al, do you feel a bit differently about this?
I mean, I certainly don't rate Robert Saleh like extremely highly as a head coach, but you've got to get into, I think you've got to put into context the team that he's had, the quarterback that he's had. Admittedly, he was at fault for drafting that quarterback as well, but it wasn't just his decision. And I feel like it's been a widely accepted thing that it's like the Jets just haven't had a team kind of fully together. Obviously, what happened with Rodgers last year happened, and I'm not I'm not saying that Salah's some amazing head coach and it's been misunderstood. What I am saying is it's 5 weeks into the season. You're one game below 500. Is going to an interim head coach who was your defensive coordinator, does that really give you a better chance of turning your season around when really all you needed was a kind of a good win this week? This is why I feel like something else happened behind the scenes, because it's like nothing catastrophic has happened with this Jets team for this to happen yet this season.
Mm, yeah, I do sort of agree with that. I do have a bit of sympathy with the quarterbacks, I guess, and the team that he's had to deal with. But
I mean, I don't know. Sorry, Luke, I know you're moving on, but in my opinion, he shouldn't have even been in the role going in. I mean, say what you want about him, but Bill Belichick doesn't have a job, didn't have a job at the start of the year. I don't know why they didn't move heaven and earth to get him. Anything would have been an improvement, and especially someone like Belichick. Don't know the logistics of it, might have been unrealistic, but he was there to be had.
It's an offense issue, though, as well. I know that they went behind early at the weekend, but when Aaron Jones got injured, absolutely, the Jets shut down Minnesota. It's that idiot who they've got an offensive coordinator, Aaron Rodgers, and that other idiot that pretends to be the offensive coordinator, Nathaniel Hackett.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah, what an absolute hack that guy is. I think I'm surprised they didn't look in that direction first, which again leads me to believe that, like, and I feel like Rodgers was on McAfee today. I'm wondering if any kind of tough questions were asked about, like, how much he knew about it or whatever, but yeah.
No. I mean, at the end of the day, it's just another excuse here for the Jets now, isn't it? First, it wasn't the right quarterback. Then the right quarterback got injured. Now it's not the right coach, blah, blah, blah. You know, Bill Belichick, he's been quite busy, though, so I believe he's been scouting college cheerleaders or something like that. I don't know. Look it up. Richardson. Injuries. Richardson didn't play, as we said, oblique injury. He did practice last week, so just monitor the practice reports this week. He might play. Neighbours didn't play last week as well. Concussion. Still no word on that. And Singletree as well with a groin injury. So just keep tabs on those guys. Josh Allen. This is a crazy headline. Josh Allen rolled his ankle and got a hit to the chest. No, he didn't. He got concussed. I know, Everybody knows he got concussed.
Like the most obvious concussion I've ever seen. Like, his head smacked against the floor.
And then he was lying back,
there's inconsistencies with these concussion checks, because he was back in the game like 2 minutes later, and you're thinking...
I was shocked. Because, you know, I don't know. Maybe it was a legitimate, maybe not. But yeah, it was strange to see how quickly he came back into a game when there's been such scrutiny on concussions. But yeah, he came out in the game and gone, I rolled my ankle, I got a big hit to the chest. It's like, lad, well, the summit is, you did it, your head, mate, because you don't remember it. So just monitor that. It says he's healthy. So there we go. Nico Collins ruled out with a hamstring injury in his game just after he had a complete bomb of a touchdown as well. Nico Collins would have been in our best players of the week 7 if he kept playing, because pulled his hamstring on a complete go route. I'm just going to launch it to the end zone and you're going to be there. He's considered week to week, so that says he's probably going to miss this game, I reckon, this next game against the Patriots.
Future Lewis here, guys. Just wanted to jump in and provide a little update on this piece of news. Nico Collins has been placed on injured reserve by the Texans, meaning he will miss at least the next 4 games. Yeah. As somebody who drafted Nico Collins and Rashee Rice in one league, I am tilting my back off. I'll pass it back to a much more calm and content Lewis from yesterday evening. Derek Carr was knocked out of the Monday night game with an oblique injury. A lot of them going around this year. An oblique injury. He is set to miss multiple weeks. So if the Saints wanted to get back to that, the winning ways of earlier in the season, this might not be the best news. Devon Achan ruled out of the Dolphins game with a concussion. He's got a bye week this week, so check in the week after. And same story with Aaron Jones, who was knocked out of the London game with a hip injury. He's on bye this week, so more info about those guys next week.
Al, yes. We love to be accountable, don't we?
We love to be accountable. We love basking in some glory as well, so get ready for some gloating from me. It was a very clean week, lads. Not one miss across the board. Give yourself a pat on the back. So, Lou, you kind of hit projections throughout. Stroud, Walker, Pym and Gesicki. Kind of hit projections throughout.
I was playing it like bowls this week. I wanted to get as close to the projection as possible. Yeah. Picking the players who would get closest to the projection as possible.
Nice, nice. Sharples, big hit, Baker Mayfield. That was nice. And Alan Lazard, not necessarily a big hit, but we're playing the projection on that one. Well played, sir.
Thank you.
Cade Otton and Jacobs, of course, the projection. Called the Caleb Williams breakout game, so I'm happy with that. Although Najee Harris, Amari Cooper, and Eric All Jr. just almost hitting the projections. I'm on one miss for the past 3 weeks, lads. Two misses in the past month. I'm finding that kind of safe range, but the top end isn't quite there yet. So now that across the board, we've all done what we'd secretly agreed to, which was limit misses, now I think we should try to go for the hits.
Sorted.
Okay.
Sorted.
But, I mean, clean week across the board, lads. Well done.
No worries. Cheers. Let's look ahead to week six. Week six of the National Football League. The Chiefs, Rams, Dolphins and Vikings on bye this week. Al, is he with you?
Mm-hmm. Oh, he is. Come in, my friend. We're starting off the week looking ahead. The only way we know how.
Forget about it.
Yeah, it's with the forget about it. It's players that are locked into your lineup no matter what. Don't even think about it. Just plug them in and play them at the quarterback position. It's Jaden Daniels, Lamar Jackson, Joe Burrow, Josh Allen.
Forget about it.
Almost put Dak Prescott in there because that guy's clutch, Sharples. I don't know if you know, but, you know, secret attack, sneak attack, Cowboys talk. Dak Prescott is clutch, isn't he, Lou?
He is pretty darn clutch.
Sneak attack there on the Cowboys talk when you least expected it, Sharples.
Oh, he's so clutch that you've bombed out of the playoff for the past 2 years. But yeah, carry on.
Forget about it. It's at the wide receiver position. Alvin Kamara having a hell of a year. Saquon Barkley, Derek Henry.
Forget about it.
That's all I'm comfortable with this week. You know, we've got some banged up players. We've got some players that aren't really kind of doing it at the minute. That's all I think I'm comfortable with at the running back position. Wide receiver, a little bit more healthy though. We're going Malik Nabers if he plays. Drake London, CeeDee Lamb, Jamar Chase, Amon-Ra St. Brown. AJ Brown if he plays. And I think Jaden Reed's been fantastic this year as well. As has Chris Godwin, so plug all those guys in.
Forget about it!
Tight end position. Kittle, Kelsey, McBride. Bowers, obviously.
Forget about it.
I've been impressed with George Kittle so far this year. Obviously, Brock Bowers has been amazing. But I've been impressed with George Kittle. I think like he's been consistent for you this year.
Cool. Cheers, Al. Let's get into our projection beaters, guys, who we think will outscore their ESPN projection by 4 or more points this week. We will start with quarterback, and we will also start with Alex Sharples.
Going for Kyler Murray, quarterback of the Cardinals, going up against the Packers, projected 17.8 points. Looking to follow the game script with this one. Packers have been a potent offense. I think the Cardinals are going to need a good amount of points in order to keep up with them and hopefully win. So that should mean that Kyler's playing aggressively throughout all four quarters, whether that be throwing or rushing. Last week against the Niners, he didn't actually throw all that well, but the early 50-yard rushing touchdown he ripped off helped save the week. Obviously can't expect a repeat of that, but I think there'll be an uptick in his passing numbers. Packers are still a good defense, but slightly less formidable than San Francisco. And then couple that with his ever-present threat as a rusher. I think 17.8 is a very beatable score.
Nice. Al?
Yeah, I'm going back to the well with Caleb Williams this week.
Ooh,
projected
nice.
14.9 versus Jacksonville. His first great game as a pro at the weekend. 20 for 29, 304 yards, 2 touchdowns, scrambled for 34 yards too. He looked really good. And he's got a beatable projection again this week, just the 14.9 against the Jacksonville Jaguars team, which are dead last against fantasy quarterbacks, giving up 23.1 points a game. And they truly look like one of the worst teams in the league. So I'm firing up Williams again this week.
Nice, I do like Williams as well this week. My quarterback projection beater is a machine. A love machine, to be more specific. It's Jordan Love of the Green Bay Packers.
I thought you were going to say Dan Jones then.
Not Dan Jones.
With that.
Jordan yeah. Love Machine Love. Love Machine is his middle name. You'd think it'd be Jordan Love Machine, but it's not. It's Jordan Love Machine Love. Projected 18 points this week. I personally think Jordan Love's looked great. He's had moments where he's looked like one of the best quarterbacks in the league. He's looked like what they're paying him to be, I think. In points per game, he's the quarterback 5, averaging over 20 points per game. He's had 8 touchdowns through 3 games, which is class, but also 5 interceptions. There's some rust there that needs to be shaken off. This receiving core in Green Bay is full of absolute dudes. You know, Jaden Reed fully breaking out. Wicks has flashed, looked like a great player. We know the big playability of Dobbs and Watson. Watson, who should be back this week as well. And they may have just unlocked one of the league's new great tight ends in Tucker Kraft. All of these guys are borderline, you know, starters, streaming options through the wide receiver flex positions and tight end, obviously, in fantasy football, which tells you that this quarterback is due to be very, very productive. John Love is facing the Cardinals this week, who I know I'm sort of undermining my impressive victory this week because they did have a solid defensive stand against the 49ers, but they're still a team who's giving up over 18 points per game to quarterbacks, which is bottom 10 in the league. The over-under in this one, 49.5, that's the third highest of the week. Testament to the explosive potential of both teams and the playmakers on each side. I think you should have confidence starting Love again in this one, and I don't think he's shaken that rust off. The machine is no longer rusty. Starting the Love machine this week, Jordan Love. Let's go to running back Sharples.
I've gone for a man we've discussed already, Tank Bigsby, projected 6.1 points.
6.1. I bet you love that when you that's like you're sifting through them like a record collection looking for the original pressing, aren't you?
Hear me out. I could have selected Cam Akers, who is currently projected 0.0 points, and it's very likely that he will be the lead back for the Texans, but I didn't. So I feel like anything is an improvement on that, hence I feel zero guilt in selecting Tank Bigsby. Really a similar mould to the Charbonnet pick I made a couple of weeks ago. Etienne questionable at the minute, so if he's out, then Bigsby should be a relatively safe hit. But even if he's not, I think, as we discussed, Bigsby made a case to get a lot more work and hopefully be a hit regardless, even if Etienne plays. Huge week last week, 13 carries, 101 yards and 2 touchdowns. I think he made a 28-yard reception as well, which is supposed to be purely the area of Etienne, so that could be a good sign. And obviously Jags got the first win, so surely Doug Peterson's thinking, why change a winning formula? Add to that, Bears are a run-friendly team, bottom 10 in giving up points to fantasy running back so far, and I think Bigsby could be in line for another big week. Another Bigsby
nice.
Week.
The Bigsby week, Al.
Yeah, I just want to say I realised that when we were doing the forget about it, I completely forgot about my own new rule. So I want to scratch the first quarterback that I said, and I want to replace it with Hugh Freeze. Okay. So running back, I'm going to go David Montgomery, projected at 14.1 at my Dallas Cowboys. So Montgomery is a red zone machine. He's coming off a bye week. He is against a bottom six fantasy rush defense who've allowed the joint second most rushing touchdowns this season with 8. And he's handed a 14.1 projection by ESPN, which is lower than the points he scored in every single game that he's played in this season. This is an absolute gimme with David Montgomery. Yes, please.
Okay, nice. I'm going with Breece Hall, projected 16.7. This wasn't even, this first point wasn't even initially in my notes for him, but as I said before, you know, firing of the head coach sort of galvanizes the team for the first few weeks. We see this in you know, in football over here in England all the time and in the NFL. So maybe that's something that gets this offense rolling. But listen, it's not often that you get to make a player drafted in the top five of your fantasy football drafts your projection beater. So I'm running with it this week. Listen, sort of, you know, been a borderline bust so far as for where you draft him. You know, he almost made it into the jacuzzi last week, but he was really solid in the first 3 weeks and a couple of down games this past 2 weeks, scoring 3.8 points, then 6.7 points, but still had the usage those weeks, seeing over 13 opportunities a game. These poor games genuinely have just come against two of the better run defenses in the league in Denver and Minnesota. This week, yeah, the opponent might sound scary when you look at the name, but the Buffalo Bills are dead last in fantasy points given up to running backs, over 34 points a game to the position. I still think Breece Hall is elite. I think he's had a couple of tough games. It's been a couple of tough ones for this Jets offense as a whole, not just the rushing attack. But I don't know how many times I'm going to be able to make Breece Hall my projection beater. So listen, he's going to have a big week, a resurgent fantasy week. It's a great matchup, divisional rival at home. Yeah, Breece Hall all day, every day. Wide receiver Sharples.
I'm going for Wandale Robinson, wide receiver of the New York Giants, projected 13 points. Clearly not the wide receiver one on the team, but Robinson has had a healthy 31 targets over the last 3 games. Daniel Jones might be awful, but one thing he is not is afraid to throw the ball. Neighbors likely to be back, and although he will take a lot of targets, I think he'll also take a lot of attention away from Robinson, which should give him a bit more room to work. And they're also going up against maybe the perfect team at the minute, because this Bengals offense has been an absolute juggernaut, and the defense is like a sieve with a hole in it. So there should be plenty of ball to go around, should be plenty of need to throw the ball. And so I'm hoping that Neighbors coming back won't limit the ceiling too much, but I think he should got a relatively safe floor. Could be a sneaky hit. And so that's why I've gone for Wandale Robinson.
Nice, Al.
Nice. We've got competing wide receiver twos in the same game, Sharples. I'm going T. Higgins, projected 14.7 in that game against the Giants. I really, really love this pick this week. Higgins is coming off that huge weekend, and he's gotten better and better each game that he's played this season. Led the team in target share this past week with 28%, and he's been in the upper echelon for targets per route run over the past 2 weeks. And the Bengals really, they did do enough to win the game this past weekend, so I don't expect anything to change offensively. Love the matchup this week, though. I think the Giants showed this past week that they can score points. They're going to be able to keep up in games, keep games competitive, especially when at home, and especially with Malik Neighbors in the team as well. So I like this game to hit the over. I think the Giants themselves will score points, so Burrow's going to have to be slinging it as well. I mean, you know, Neighbors is projected to be the number one wide receiver on the week if he plays, so just, you know, you do the maths, the Bengals are going to have to throw the ball as well, hopefully. Zach Moss potentially banged up a little bit as well. I think he will play, but, you know, do your damage through the air, Cincinnati, because even when Zach Moss isn't banged up, you know, he's Zach Moss.
He is Zach Moss. I'm going to go DJ Moore, projected 14.8. Stealing your wide receiver out from your quarterback projection meter. He's found a lovely rapport with Caleb Williams. They seem to be getting more comfortable with each other, confident with each other. And you know what, DJ Moore, he doesn't seem to be that boom-bust player we've been used to him being. His usage has been consistent, averaging over 8 targets a game. He's hit double-digit fantasy points every game this season. What was missing was touchdowns, but they came in last week, and I think they'll come thick and fast as Williams adjusts more to the NFL. This week, as you alluded to, Al, facing Jacksonville. Jacksonville, in the past 3 games, have given up over 948 passing yards and 9 passing touchdowns, which is ridiculous. Dead last in the league. They did show last week that they can put up points, albeit against a poor defense. Jacksonville did, but I think this is going to be a competitive one. Jags might think they've turned a corner, you know, but the Bears are full of confidence, and I expect that confidence to radiate from Williams and Moore for another game. Let's round it out with tight end, Sharples.
Gone for Zach Ertz, projected 9.5 points. Yeah, I mean, it's tight end, not going to get too excited about it. but the Ravens have given up the 4th most points to fantasy tight ends currently. Ertz has had a few down weeks, but the 10 targets he got last week are an indication to me that Daniel still has confidence in him, still looking for him. Baltimore haven't been great against the pass in general. They're good at bringing pressure, and I think Daniels is probably going to see a lot of Madubuike and Van Noy bearing down on him, which will hopefully mean he won't have time to load up those big throws to McLaurin. Might mean he needs to do a few more short routes and dump offs to Zach Ertz. I'm hoping he'll get enough volume to make him a hit. And also just a tidbit, although I've not fact checked it, he's probably the only player in the NFL whose name begins and ends with a Z.
Okay. If that isn't a reason to start him, I don't know what it is. Al?
Yeah, very good. Almost like a palindrome. No, not really. Yeah. Anyway,
what about Chet Johnson's? Zet Johnson's.
I'm going Dallas Goedert, tight end for Philadelphia, projected 9.5 versus Cleveland. Not an amazing matchup for tight ends on paper, but tight ends are awful.
Full stop.
That's it. Mm-hmm. He's projected this 9 points, which should really be his floor. You know, he's been really good over the past few weeks. I know he had that huge game a couple of weeks ago, coming off a bye. So hopefully this Philadelphia team, they're going to be prepared. They're going to be kind of wanting to make a statement. Blah, 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 tight end, blah, blah, blah. They've got the receivers coming back, so maybe, I don't know, this will be a bad pick. But, you know, I just thought Dallas Goedert, 9.5, seems low for that guy. Yeah.
Nice. I love what you said, Sharples, when you were about to do your projection, but he said, it's tight end, I'm not going to get too excited. That's the motto for this part of the segment. I'm going with Dalton Schultz, projected 8 points. He's not even hit 8 points this year so far, so it's a risky pick, but there's a couple of reasons to back Schultz this week. Nico Collins, Texans clear number one wide receiver, he's most likely going to miss this game. Collins has a 30% target share on the season so far, so losing him, plenty of targets up for grabs. Schultz is third on the team in targets so far, first in snaps among Houston's skill position players, so he's out there a lot. Should see a target increase. I mean, he's been serviceable anyway in that department. And yeah, the Texans are against the Patriots this week, who are middle of the pack against tight ends, giving up over 10 points per game to the position, so nothing frightening there. Rounded out, Sharples, with the game tiers for week 6.
Will do, Luke. Just before I do that, I'm just going to nip something in the bud in case we've got any eagle-eared listeners who think they're going to step to me and make me look a fool. There is another player on the ESPN Fantasy app whose name begins with a Z and ends in a Z. However, he's currently a free agent, and so he's not in the NFL, and so I don't feel silly. But he is a tight end called Zach Kuntz.
Cool. Cooper Cup's brother.
Cooper Cup's brother. Cooper Cup's brother. Last play for the Jets, by the look of it. Okay. Game tiers, let's go. Pretty even split, actually. In the great, gone for the Ravens, Commanders, Packers, Cardinals, and the Cowboys, Lions.
Nice, 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 yeah.
Into the good, we've got the Seahawks against the 49ers, the Giants, Bengals, Panthers, Falcons, and Saints, Bucks.
Whoa. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Could be hit or miss that one, but yeah, let's be positive. Moving into the meh, Jets, Bills, Titans, Colts, Jaguars, Bears, and Patriots, Texans.
Okay.
Into the bad, Eagles, Browns, Broncos, Chargers, and Raiders, Steelers.
Yep.
Yeah.
I agree.
I think so. I think so. And I think that'll do us as well, lads. Al, you're laughing at something pretty heavily. This is going to be the closing thought, so be wise.
No, I'm just looking. I'm looking at the guy that Sharples just looked up. yes. Don't play Zach Cunts this week.
Definitely don't play Cunts. No.
I will leave it there. Thanks for listening. We're on Instagram, in the pocket across the pond. And if you've got a question for us or anything like that, in the pocket across the pond at gmail.com. And that'll do us. See ya. Cheers. Thank you.
See ya.